this week in the Wicked Wardrobe, I have a very, very special friend. I'd like to say friend, new friend, wicked companion. And I'm very excited that there are two of us here in the Wicked Wardrobe, two little wicked people. Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Oh gosh, that's a chill. Yeah, there's too much wickedness. Is there? Is that a thing? Is there too much wickedness?
There can never be too much wicked.
Welcome to this little have a chat, not podcast, podcast. So, thanks for being here. We had to sort of reschedule for those who are listening, and Wicked Opinion was very tolerant and patient with me because real life kicked in, and that wasn't fair because don't people know I've got naughty things to do with my microphone.
God damn it. Just let me get home so I can record myself moaning into the microphone for other people's entertainment.
That's right. That's right. So thank you for being here. So I don't know. Let's get this party started. Can you tell us, I guess, you know, who are you, where you're from, what do you do in naughty audio space? But firstly, I'm more intrigued about your username, Wicked Companion.
Yeah, well, when I try to find names for stuff, I always try to find like the essence of like what I'm trying to convey. Mm-hmm. And, like in this case, it was like what I wanted to do. And I tried to find a balance between sweet and wholesome and like boyfriend-y vibe. That was before I knew what any of this stuff were, like all the tags and categories and genres or whatever. But I wanted to find something that's like that was a combination of sweet and like I'm there for you kind of vibe, but also I can wreck your shit if you step out of line, little princess.
Like it. There's a whole lot of wickedness up in here. Just like, yeah, just remember. Yeah. Well, that's fabulous. And with regards to Naughty Audio Land, how do you contribute and what do you contribute? What sort of role do you take?
Well, I started doing one script. I did a script because I said to myself, I am a script writer. Mm-hmm. I am not a performer. I am not sexy enough for that.
Okay, I beg to differ now, but go on, sorry.
And then I joined a listener-run Discord server.
Yeah.
And then after, I want to say, 2 or 3 months, I was in a chat with some people in BC on there. And I told them, well, I'm a scriptwriter. They could see it because of my role. And then some of the people said, you should do audios. You are good. You will be good.
Yeah.
And I said, nah, I don't have the self-esteem for that.
It takes a certain amount of confidence, I think, or believe. Yeah. Or confidence. Yeah. That you need to be believing yourself. Okay. So.
And then they just said, do it. It will raise your self-esteem. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, what's the worst that can happen? I can publish an audio and I can get laughed out of the subreddit and leave and never, never look back. And then people was really, the first audio I did was a pillow talk. And people took extremely well to it. Mm. Like I was blown back because I compared it to like other performers in that server.
Yeah.
And they told me, that is for your first audio. That was exceptionally great.
Oh, that's really supportive. Really supportive. Right. Wow. Yeah. Were you surprised? You were blown back, but just that really.
I had no idea. It got really, really popular. I had no idea why.
Well, and so did that sort of motivate you to think, well, yeah, I can.
Maybe people find my voice sexy or soothing or something.
Okay.
And then I just did a lot of sweet, like, boyfriend, DGLG stuff. And then at some point it was like, screw it. I'm just going to make whatever I want to make. And then I started doing the really dark and depraved stuff.
Oh, did you? Okay. So you changed genres a little bit and started exploring different scenarios. And were they, as you're a script writer, were they your own fills of scripts that you'd published, or
how did that come about? I only did that one script.
Oh, okay.
And then I stopped for when I was planning on doing more script because, you know, I was too horny, had too high of a sex drive, and I had to do something productive while having fun. And so I wrote scripts, but then I started doing audio. So most of my audio work are improvs that I come up with on the fly.
That's, I think that's an amazing skill. So you're primarily improv.
Yeah, I primarily improv now. Like I've done script fills in the past, but it's mainly improv. It's like I get one good scenario or image or idea in my head, and I can spout a 10-minute, 15-minute audio with that alone. Or people give me a concept and I can run with it for 10, 15 minutes and just
I
make it
so
coherent
admire
audio.
that. I really admire that because I'm working on it. I'm good if I'm having a chat with someone else and I can feed off that energy and there's a bit of to and fro and there's a dialogue between us and it's like, yeah, and then I'm going to do this, but if it's just me talking into the mic, I'm like, I'm running out of words. I'm running out of words. I don't know what to do. I'm working on it. So for you to be able to do that, I so admire people who can improv and make me, I guess, fully immerse in the experience. So yeah. So
I didn't notice or know before how good I was at improv until I actually started doing this, because I remember as when I was little, I wanted to do like acting or some form of acting work, but I had stage fright because extreme bullying and stuff. So I
Oh,
never
damn.
could get myself to go on a stage. So this where I get to like moan into a microphone and really get up close to the person I'm talking to is a really great outlet.
Oh, I agree. I'm a little similar in that I had a performance background, yet was terrified of performing. And so being able to do this, excuse me for a second, so professional. See, I'm a performer. Just being able to do it in my own little recording space without anybody seeing or watching, and people are just listening. I love that. It works, yeah. So for you, it's a creative outlet, and is it?
It's a creative outlet, but it's definitely also like a horniness outlet. Like
Yeah,
I'm
sexual outlet for you, yeah.
my sexual outlet, yeah, because too horny, too high sex drive. I have too many
I'm
horny
sorry, we need to
ideas.
cut that out. There's no too high a sexual. Oh, well, maybe if it's detrimental in some way, but yeah, too horny. Nah, we're here for it. That's why we're here, right?
Yeah, it is. For a second there, I thought I'd said something wrong. It's like, I've got to cut that out. I was like, oh no, oh
Yeah,
no,
see
I pushed
that.
the red button.
That's where you don't understand. I don't edit, but and this is actually for those of you who are listening. This is how I met. How would you like to be referred to you as Wick,
Wick,
Wicked, Wick?
Wick, Wick
Yes.
is fine.
This is how I met Wicky. They were editing a collab that I was fortunate enough to be a part of, and
It was a great collab.
oh, you did a great job editing. And I actually thought your sort of primary contribution to the space was as an editor, because what you did with it, I didn't realize. I knew you recorded and posted audio yourself as a air quotes VA, but I didn't realize that was you editing your editing skills. I thought, sorry, I'm words use them. I thought you were primarily an editor, but it was sort of lovely to meet you and interact with you and be a part of that. So what is your main sort of focus in contributing to the space at the content that you do?
I started to I do VA, I do audios, I do the moaning into microphones. But I want to because sometimes I just don't have the energy to record, and I like editing a lot. I like creating like a soundscape and an audio, like I did with that collab. So I want to switch my focus to be more editor based because as we discussed, we are very professional here. JK.
Just remember people.
Yeah, so like I wanted to like turn that into kind of like a side business because I really spent a lot of time on like DWA. And like it's going okay. It's actually not going that great, but
how do you mean it's not going great?
Like I haven't had, like a lot of people have seen like my like rates and stuff, but like not almost no one has like contacted me.
Oh, do you mean as in being commissioned as an editor?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So like I want to make that my main focus because right. I have so much free time and
right.
And like, yeah, I really just like editing because I know I'm good at it. I know I'm really good at it. And yeah, I have something that not a lot of people do.
You're absolutely right. I have commissioned editors for collaborations that have been in the group of us have, and I know for a fact that they wouldn't. And this is some of it's free content, some of it's behind paywalls.
Mm-hmm.
But even I think it's vital for larger works. Generally, my own work isn't edited because I cannot listen to myself. But I think what you do and what you provide, in chatting with other new VAs, I've learned that they don't realize that there are editors available to be commissioned to improve.
Yeah, exactly.
What they're putting out there. So I guess it's a bit of exposure, right? People knowing that you're available. So when you do edit work, is that how does that happen? What's the process there? Do people approach you directly, or do you jump on board things, and or how do you sort of put yourself out there to say, hey, I'm an editor, I'm available?
Well, generally speaking, like if someone's looking for an editor, like for a project, I will usually jump on board if I mm-hmm. like the project, and then I'll do it for free. But people can reach out to me either on Reddit or on Twitter. Like I have a rate card and everything on Reddit.
Brilliant.
And Twitter.
Okay.
Where people see where it goes, and then usually like it goes through, it just goes either through the DMs, either on Twitter or Reddit. Yeah. Or if they want to, we can switch to Discord. That's no issue for me.
Sure. Okay.
And they send me the raw material, like they tell me what tier they want.
Yeah.
That's based on like how much they want done to it.
Sure.
And then I tell them based on like the raw material I get, and like I ask them if they have an estimate for like how long they think it's going to be, because then they know the price is calculated for per edited minute.
Sure. Yeah.
So like per 5 minutes per minute. So yeah, like if I get like a 30-minute audio file, like raw audio file, but the finished result is only 10 minutes, then it's like 10 times whatever tier they chose.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So what level and of then, editing? Yeah. What? How much detail?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I send them like a little snippet, usually 2 or 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pay me, and then I send them the whole file through Google Drive.
Brilliant.
And then they can tell me with like I have no like revision limits, but they can tell me like within reason if there's something that needs changing or
it's something I can definitely do. I'm always like to post in when these go out your links to where people can find you and utilize your services or listen to your voice or
listen to my sexy sexy Dom voice.
Just need to take a drink of water. Enough with that. I'll definitely do that. Something that's I think quite fascinating when I met you and we chatted about the project I think we were working on at the time is that people may not know, may not be aware of. I think you said to me, I have a heightened, something like a heightened sense of sound, and something like that. And I thought,
I have a heightened hearing.
Yeah, and I thought, well, that's would that mean? Because we're all here for an auditory purpose, right? Or that's kind of, we're all audiophiles on some level. So I thought that was interesting of you to make that comment, and I didn't anticipate, I didn't understand at the time, but then you disclosed to me, and this is okay, we've discussed this prior to, that you're actually blind.
Exactly. So I typically make this comment to people when they ask more about it, like, for why I got here, but I know we'll get to that later. It was like, every porn, like all porn is audio porn if you can't see. So but yeah, that's also why, as I said earlier, I have something unique to offer that not like other editors, not because they're not good, they're great editors.
You've got a very different perspective.
I have a different perspective, and I will catch every little error because I like don't look at like the screen when I'm editing. I like don't look at the like sound waves or whatever. I listen to what you're sending me.
Nice.
So that's that's the specific.
It's your heightened focus on it because everything is further developed without that visual aspect of it. I find that quite incredible. I guess if I'm going to go back then, how did you discover this space? And you mentioned, too high a sex drive. Again, not questioning. There is nothing. But how did you discover GWA and your clearly if auditory, your auditory senses are heightened? I need to find another word for heightened. Further developed. I don't know. I don't know. That's
no. I mean, heightened is pretty accurate because it's not like I have super hearing or something like that. Where like normal people, people without a visual impairment can get the same amount of hearing I do. It's just I have learned to utilize it more. So the brain doesn't block out as many sounds as it would do for a sighted person because they have their sight to rely on. Sure. So it's not because my ears are different or anything. That aside, how I found GWA, you know what? That's a great question. With fear of fabricating the truth, we all started with visual porn, as you do.
Yeah.
Usually. And then it kind of was like two things. There's kind of, did I search for porn on Reddit? I probably searched for porn on Reddit and came onto Gone Wild.
Oh, okay.
And then discovered Gone Wild Audio through that way. Alongside one of my blind friends told me, because I ranted to him about, we talked about audio, described porn, which is really cringy, but...
Can you tell me what that is?
It's basically audio described porn is imagine a normal porn video, but then you have like a monotone voice describing what they're doing, and it is so bad. It's horrible.
Just like that took the sexy out of it.
Exactly. And it's horrible. It is you should go look it up if you can.
Maybe I will.
For science.
For science. There we go. Research purposes.
Research purposes. But I ranted to him about I can't find, because so much of it is focused on the visual aspect, blah, blah, blah. I can't find anything with good sounds because I wanted to hear the sounds mainly because that was what turned me on. And he was like, you know what? I'm running a server where people where some people meet both of blind VAs and blind people and non-blind people, listeners, VAs, whatever, little friend server. And I told him something along the line, what are you even on about? And he told me there's something called GWA where you can do the things, where you can find the things.
Yeah.
And I asked him I don't know what I'm doing, send me something of your favorites. And he found me a couple.
Yeah.
And I was hooked when I heard it, and then I spent the next 3 hours on GWA. And
I love it.
Two or three years later, I said to myself, you know what? I have such a high sex drive.
Yeah.
And I don't do anything productive while releasing that tension.
Yeah.
So I might as well just join the thing and do the thing.
Do the thing. Please do the thing. Yes.
I'm doing all the things.
Okay, all right. I might need to just open the door here in the wardrobe a little bit and let out some of the things.
You need some water there.
that's fabulous. And does your friend who initially sort of introduced you to the space know that you do the things? No?
No one from my real life know that I do the thing.
Right. Right. Would that be detrimental in some way if they discovered that you do the things?
No, not at all. Not at all. It was an online friend, so it wasn't a friend in person. Okay. I actually tried to tell one of my friends and his girlfriend that I did the thing. I actually told them while we were like having a little bonfire and drinking a little.
Yeah.
And they wanted proof. But also, they're the kind of couple where handcuffs are too kinky, so I was kind of on the fence with like, you think handcuffs are too kinky? I don't think you want to see me like doing a hard rape audio.
Yeah, you're not ready for this jelly.
You're not ready for this little teeny tiny innocent angels. You're not ready for what I can do.
It's like, are you ready for this? No. So nobody, am I right in that no one in your sort of real life is aware?
No one knows. Yeah. And that's also kind of hard when said friends has come over and I have like 3 microphones and they're like, what the frick do you need all these microphones for?
What's this about? Well,
Wallachy?
Research, science, doing.
I'm doing mouth noises on the internet, okay?
Well, yeah, I have some people in my life that know. Well, I'm fairly open about telling the adults in my life, but there are small people in my life that I'm aware that I record. They just don't know the nature of what I record.
That makes sense. Yeah. Also, I've been thinking about this from like a romantic standpoint as well. Like, what do I do if I eventually get a partner?
Yeah.
Like, do I involve them? Do I tell them?
Would this be
them?
A deal breaker? Would this? Yeah. I don't know.
Hi, honey. I do porn on the internet. Mm. Audio porn, so they don't see anything except for horny Twitter. They see a thing.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing, isn't it, in terms of your level of comfort in disclosing and because there's a certain amount of vulnerability, I think, when you put it out there. And you mentioned, you know, that your self-esteem and doing this to sort of bolster that in some way improve that or increase that. Mm-hmm. But it's another thing then to divulge this and be, you know, open and with people in your real life. So yeah, I do often wonder. It's something that I do ask the content creators: do people in your real life know? And it's more often than not, it's a no, for various reasons.
Yeah.
So, is that difficult for you? Like, would you like to be able to, you know, let friends, family, I don't know, people in your real life know? Because clearly you enjoy it and it's, you know, if you're spending a fair amount of time in this
space. I'm spending way too much time on Discord servers, hanging out and on creating and like thinking creatively. But it's really nice to have this creative outlet. Also, something I totally forgot to mention is another reason why I also started doing it was because I like programming, I like coding. Love it.
Yeah.
But usually coding, if people know anything about coding, they know that projects, applications, whatever, from like, I get the idea, it can take months, sometimes years for it to be fully developed and released.
Yeah.
And that's it's a creative outlet nonetheless. It's creative problem solving with programming, but it's still a slow process.
Sure, yeah.
Whereas I just was growing tired of it, and I wanted something creative that I could turn out, like I could get an idea, sit down, do it, release it the same day.
And
that was another thing. Like, I like this.
Yeah. The satisfaction of it being fulfilled in a shorter time frame. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But as to the friends and family knowing, there's no really, the only thing I kind of miss by my close friends knowing in real life, or just like anyone out of this like community knowing that I do it, is that I can't share, oh, I hit 1,000 followers, or I got this audio that got this amount of like a new record of listens. I can't share that.
Yeah.
And also, like, for me at least, I can't like ask them, hey, does this picture of my dick look nice for horny Twitter?
Because I
can't see it myself.
Right.
I can't see it myself. Learning. So I have to ask people, hey, does, and also like if I want, let's say I want to take a picture of like my jawline, it's like, hey, does this picture show my jawline without showing my entire face so everyone can like figure out where I live?
True. Am I doxing myself with this image?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And like, so that's kind of what I miss. But other than that, like, I don't think it would have a negative effect.
Right.
And I don't think it would have, other than that, a positive effect. I think it's just like, they'll probably be a little, why? But after that, like, it's just another thing. And if I'm happy doing it, and if it doesn't like kill me, then we're all good.
Yeah, if I'm having fun and I'm getting a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction, then I'm gonna keep doing it. You can take or leave it. That's kind of my perspective. If it's not going to be detrimental, say in your workspace or in any other sort of space.
And would I regret doing any of this? No, absolutely not. I've learned so many things about myself.
Yeah.
Just being around the community, and because the thing about this community is there's so many colorful people.
Yeah.
In both good or bad, but definitely more good than bad. And I've learned so much about myself by interacting with all these non-stereotypical people as we are. Like,
yeah, very myself included. I totally get where you're coming from. How amazing is it that there is such a diversity within the community? I mean, we're all here for, the primary reason is, we like to listen. But at the same time, knowing that anything I want to listen to or I'd like to listen to or hear, what I appreciate is there might be some instances of it, but there's no shame in it. If I want to listen to, a rape content, or if I want to listen to an incest content, or if I want to listen to, a succubus and a succubus and tentacles and a cat boy. If I want to listen to that, I'm going to listen to it. Do you know what I mean? There's there's generally something out there, or you can request it.
Exactly.
How amazing is that? It's like there's lots of chocolates in the chocolate box, people. We can pretty much find most of the time what we're after and satisfy that that auditory pleasure. I totally understand where you're coming from with that. So moving forward, what is, like, from here on out, you're talking about your editing and the monetization of that and people being able to commission you for work. Going back to, so putting on your VA hat.
Hold on, I need to find it.
Yeah. Okay, all right. You got it?
There we go. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Got it.
Yeah, fab. Fab, because, we're versatile. We like to switch things up, right? In many ways. Has the content that you record or you choose to record or when you improv, have you explored new ideas, scenarios, kinks, genres, topics? Has that expanded since you've sort of joined the space as a creator?
Well, I wouldn't say it has expanded in the sense that I have found something new I liked. It was more, I got more comfortable recording darker stuff. So I kind of started out light with Pillow Talks and BFE, Boyfriend Experience. And then it slowly evolved into DGLG. I guess that's kind of a thing I discovered actually, is DGLG. Like I thought DGLG was, before I heard about it or knew anything about it, I thought it was just, basically like, actual like pretending like you're a little girl or a little boy, like we're talking like children age here, and like having sex with them, which was really uncomfortable. That had a really uncomfortable like sit with me. But then I said, well, there's so many people into it, and these all people can't all be pedophiles. It must be something else. And then I started looking into it, and I figured out like it can be, you can have DGLG without the age aspect. You can like do the caring and the caretaking and the protectiveness. And I really like that. And that's, so I guess that's what that's a new thing I got into. So I started recording a lot of that.
So for people listening, DDLG is Daddy Dom Little Girl or Little Boy.
Or like that mommy
Or Mummy Dom.
girl.
I do a
Yeah,
lot
mommy
of
though.
MD stuff. And it's something new that I discovered about myself. It's like, I'm here for
Yeah, I
this.
like this because I like taking care of my precious little princess. My precious little princess.
Okay, that's good to know. You can refer
You can
to Wick's
you can go
profile.
and you can
Fine.
refer to my profile, Wick. Good.
Companion. I'll put it in the post for sure.
Yeah, and yeah, you can refer to my profile after this episode as well. Not me calling you out here or anything.
I think it's pretty commonly known that it works for me. But I understand in discovering that
But
particular
that was kind of
style.
like in the middle ground for like kinky stuff. And then at some point I found a script I really liked. It was like a CNC study, like room, not roommates, but like CNC co college aged, like yandere knife play stuff. And I really liked the script, so I did it. And I really liked doing it because I was in a very maniacal headspace. So I did my really evil yandere laugh.
Yeah,
And
don't pull that out right now, please. I'm not ready for that. I need to warm up to that stuff. So for people listening,
it's funny, you think.
no, I'm not. I'm being totally serious right now. Just yeah, I have stopped midway through some of these chats and just went. Okay, be cool,
Something about
Wicky. Be
it's
cool.
serious. It's serious, you think you get the time to warm up.
Yeah, I know. For me, I need to warm up to that sort of space. But for those listening, yandere and CNC consent, non-consent, I had to learn what, or not had to, but I didn't. I wasn't aware of those types of tags and. I was aware of them, but I didn't know what they meant. I had to sort of research what yandere is and that sort of thing. But you, in terms of the DDLG or DDLB, that sort of content, I too initially was like, and this is not kink shaming people, just let it be known. For me, age play and incest doesn't do it for me to listen to or to record. And so I avoided that, but then discovered. Hang on, let's delve a little bit further into this. It can be role play, just role play. And I find it, it's probably the largest of my content. It's the largest category for
Yeah,
me.
that
I
definitely,
love it.
it's either, for me, it's either DGLG or Boyfriend Experience. That's my
You like
watches.
that? The sort of nurturing aspect of it, is that what appeals to you?
Yes, that and like not so much that, but also I like someone to feel safe with me and like be able to let go and just like block the world out for a minute. That's the kind of like companionship.
Side of your username, I guess.
But then like as I said, I started doing dark audios, and then it devolved into just, let me just drag you into an alleyway and rape you.
Yeah, take care of business. Yeah, okay. Exactly. So you mentioned that you have three microphones at home. Is that, yeah, what's your sort of recording space like? Okay. And how do you work?
I actually don't have three microphones.
So what do you have?
It was an over-exaggeration. I had to, because I wanted to start doing like stereo ASMR, where I could whisper into your left ear and whisper into your right ear, and it would be fun. But that microphone broke like 2 minutes after I got it, so that was not fun.
No! Okay.
It was the Blue Yeti X, and I keep telling people never buy Blue products. They suck, massive balls, and are way too expensive.
Oh, wow. Did you not just send it back to...
I did, and then they gave me a new cable. They were like, yeah, the cable was fucked. And then I got it back, and it still wasn't recognized. And I tried with another, like, micro USB cable, whatever the fuck it uses. And that worked fine. It was just very loose. I was like, I can't work with this. This is not worth, like,
because they're not cheap, people. If you're listening and you're not a VA, the equipment, we can spend a lot of money on it, and some people do spend a lot of money. Some people just use their phone. I have a Blue Yeti.
Both are valid.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you want?
Yeah, it's exactly what I use, is a Blue Yeti X, and it was a significant outlay in terms of cost. And that's a shame you've had that experience with it.
Yeah, and I had the same when I bought I had a Blue Yeti like 10 years ago, when I just used it for talking with people online. And I had to send that back too, because it was just not worth that much money.
Yeah, wow. Oh, that's like, a real shame. Because I think it's a fairly standard mic to use, I'm finding.
But kind of why I don't recommend people, like when people come and ask me for recommendations, kind of why I don't recommend Blue Yetis anything, is because they say, oh yeah, you just need to plug it into the computer and then it works. That is technically true. It mm-hmm. does work. It does pick up your voice, but it picks up like you're sitting in an airplane. So you need to actually set yourself in what the different modes on the Yeti are, so you don't record what's behind you, because that's not necessary if you're only one person, as an example.
Sure.
Or like you need to turn the gain down so it doesn't sound like you're sitting in an airplane.
Sure.
But many people don't know that, so they just say, oh, people can hear my voice.
Plug and play, yeah.
Plug and play, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I must admit, I'm guilty of that. I was guilty of that in the beginning, but I had some very lovely friends who just went, okay, you need to adjust this, this, and this. You need to put it to this setting. And I have since, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have been able to set up the Wicked Wardrobe and utilize the, you know, and specify, sorry, with the microphone and my space accordingly.
It is a good mic.
Yeah, it's being aware though, right? Because in the beginning I was like, I'm just going to plug it in, I'm going to talk into it. It's better than my phone. But yeah, I understand. I understand what you're saying. So currently, let me
tell you, because now we're getting to the juicy parts. For all the audio files and technic nerds here, this is a part where you're going to wet your pants.
Oh boy.
So I have a desktop computer.
Yeah.
Which was actually partly paid for by editing, because I had a couple of really good clients. But also a big chunk of it was my savings. But point is, I have a normal desktop. Before that, I use a laptop. All good. I need good gear, because I also program and code and stuff like that. And I have the cord that goes up to an XLR interface.
Yes.
XLR is like the industry standard for audio equipment, especially for microphones. Do you want names, or do you... Because I can list up names, but like I can also just say like what it is.
As somebody who doesn't edit, I'm really interested to know what equipment you use for your editing, not just your editing, but also your recording. Yeah, okay. I'm interested. If you're not interested, skip forward.
let's go through the entire thing, man. Custom built computer from like a manufacturer. Like I ordered all the what parts I needed in it and stuff. That's just my main computer. Then we have the XLR interface, which is a Behringer UMC202HD. It's like a little lunchbox size metal box with two XLR inputs, left and right channel. You have like all the knobs for like turning up and down, and then you have a jackstick input, or no, output, jackstick output for and the volume controller on that, not volume. And that's basically what I have my headset plugged into right now. And it's not like the small jackstick, it's the big one. I don't remember what they're actually called. And then my headset, the one I'm using right now, is a Behr Dynamic 777 777 Pro, I think. It's a really old headset. We're talking about, I think it was released in the 80s or 90s, but it's still like really one of the best headsets for like that price range.
Yeah.
But then I have on the left channel, I have an XLR cable that's a very short XLR cable that goes up to my microphone holder. That goes up to the microphone. That's the one I'm tapping on right now.
Yeah.
And that is a SE Electronic V7. Super cardioid, blah, 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 dynamic microphone, blah, blah. A lot of fancy titles. You can go look it up if you want to. Many of like popular singers has been using a microphone like this.
It's professionally used.
Like a celebrity. We're talking like Billy. Do you know Billie Eilish by any chance?
Yeah.
She has used this microphone. But like we're talking that level of like professionalism uses this microphone, and they use it on tours. They use it for studio recordings. And then on the right channel on my interface, I have an XLR cable that goes all the way across my room, like around in the corner. So it's like nice and tidy over to my bed, because I had the idea that I wanted to clip my microphone off of the holder and put it on the cable that's over at my bed and record Ramble Fabs from there, because I can't be asked to jerk off and sit in my computer chair at the same time.
Fair enough. You do you.
And, yeah. And I bought a way too long cable, but let's not talk about that.
Well, if that affords you the ability to record Ramble Fabs, I'm here for it. Go the long cable.
It was like a 20 meter cable. And for Freedom Units people, go convert it yourself. And I could have gotten away with a cable half that length. But hey, now I have it.
You've got options.
Into something bigger, I can still record. That's the hardware aspect. So for software, I use Reaper.
Okay.
And yeah, that's it.
Thank you for sort of sharing all of that.
I record in Reaper, I edit in Reaper, I have presets in Reaper, like set up, like rendering presets set up for like Soundgasm audio, for YouTube, because I was going to do that, but then my microphone, my Blue Yeti X died. I'm still sour about it.
And rightly so. I understand. Yeah. I understand the disappointment. So can you tell me? I'm personally intrigued, and I am trying to get my head around, how do you edit without vision?
Well, okay, that is pretty. That is simple. That it has a
simple answer. Is there a simple way to answer that or not?
It has a simple answer, but with a complex, not history, but with a complex like way of explaining it. So the simple answer is I use the keyboard. The complex answer is Reaper by itself is okay, like accessible. And when I talk about accessible in this way, it's accessible to people with a vision impairment.
Yes.
In the sense that people that are visually impaired, either through phones or on the computer, are using a program called a screen reader that basically reads aloud with a synthetic voice everything that happens
on the computer screen. Okay, I understand. Yeah.
So when you tap around, you have like a focus, and whatever is in focus gets read aloud. Reaper, through the brilliance of like open source coding and contributing through the entire world, like some not fans, I don't want to call them fans, but some hobbyists, has made a program to Reaper called Osara, which is basically also called the Reaper Accessibility Project, that makes it more or less fully accessible, if not fully accessible with screen readers to edit in Reaper. Basically just, it has a lot of, I can access all the menus, and then it has a lot of keyboard shortcuts, keyboard shortcuts.
Yeah.
And Reaper, like without the accessibility program, still does have a lot of shortcuts, but with these, like you get something that's where you're not reliant on a mouse. And like, it's not a program that needs to be running. It's something like you install Reaper, and then you install this. I almost want to call it a patch.
Okay.
And then you just launch Reaper like a sighted person would, and you have the accessibility there, and it works and it's there. And I just edit by tapping around, knowing the keyboard shortcuts, and just listening. Again, I usually speed through the audio at like 5 times the speed ish. That's also how I got over being able to listen to myself, because I listen to myself in a chipmunk voice. that's why I catch everything as well, because I literally listen to every second, every microsecond of the audio when I'm editing, both my own and especially others, because I take great joy in it.
Wow.
And that's why when I add sound effects, as an example, I don't just plop them in. I make it sound like I make it sound realistic, like you were the one recording it.
Actually
doing all things.
Yeah. So the project that I first met Wick on was Kidnapped by the Coyotes, I think is the correct title. We recorded it live, the other three female BAs and I.
The three lovely coyotes.
Whilst recording it live, I was like, how on earth is this going to work? Because, there were delays, there were, issues with, background noise and each of us having a different sort of recording setup, and I understand not everybody has a wicked wardrobe. I'm fortunate to have one, but it's the way you manipulated and created that soundscape, and it was wow. It was amazing.
So for people that don't know, what we did was we recorded it live on Discord. And when I say we, I was there mainly just to start and stop the recording at 5 a.m. in the morning. That was great. Time zones, people. We recorded it live on Discord. And what people know is, if they use Discord, is there's no like stereo panning on Discord, so for everyone included, it just sounded like everyone was coming from the same place. And I took that and I spaced it out so it sounded like you were standing in front of them, like they were in a room with you. And then whenever someone was talking, if I heard a sound from one of the others that wasn't supposed to be there, like, I remember one of them had like a car passing by that got picked up on the microphone. I could just mute that part and it wouldn't change anything, because each voice were their own track.
Yeah.
And that was how I did it. And then after that, I started doing, music, the background music and the sound effects.
What's
important, at least for me, when soundscaping, especially in such a big project, is, you can pan them out. Everyone using an editing program can pan people out. That is one of the easiest actions to do in an editor. in an editing program. But what is important to do is when the scene changes, because it changed a couple of times during the performance, where you could see in the script that one of the specific coyotes were more in focus because that was the one the listener was quote unquote playing with.
Yeah.
So that's important in that case to like get that person in the center and then move the others around so it sounds like that, you know, the listener just turned their head.
We're surrounding them.
Yeah, or like just that the listener actually moved.
Right, yeah. Well, the whole thing was when I heard the initial copy of it, when I listened to that, I was like, what? They did what with the what? Because obviously I was there for the live and thought, how on earth do we get
it to this?
Very much so. I was just quite blown away at what you created. And I'm really grateful because it's, you know, sort of introduced me to this, the idea that as somebody who doesn't edit, wow. And what I also... I really wanted to say and acknowledge is for the script writers and the editors out there, you know, as me, I am primarily a VA. I do some scripts, but this space wouldn't exist without the generosity and the contributions that script writers and editors make. And likewise, you know, also, you know, moderators, and I'm learning that there's also a new role, and I've done a little bit of it. Producer sounds wanky to me, but in gathering people together, particularly with that Kidnapped by the Coyotes thing, the fact that there was an independent Discord server set up and a number of groups, like somebody had to manage that. Someone had to, you know,
exactly. get together,
and I think. It's such a collaborative experience, and that is one thing that I am truly grateful for in this space, and I didn't anticipate it was the sense of community that I feel supported by. And
exactly.
Yeah. Are you finding,
I definitely want to do more that? Of all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely want to do more of that, but the issue is I can't do like script reading live because of my blindness.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for me to do collabs with people. But like in a perfect world, I could just sit down and collab with someone and we could just both do like improv the shit out of it.
And oh, just that, post that's it. Hot. Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Because I think I could do it if we just had the scenarios and tags, like we know where it's going to go. But like, I can't do script writing live, like not writing, script reading live.
Sure.
I've gone around toying with the ideas of like, as you said, producer, like kind of getting some people together that really has the drive for doing this, for like wanting to create and like really sees it as a creative process and not just moaning into a microphone. Because I really like the energy that came from that Kidnapped by the Coyote project. Because there were some talented script writers, they did an amazing job of their research, like holy shit. Yeah. And then it was some talented people, including someone that actually stepped up and say, hey, I'm going to gather people.
Yes.
And then they said, we're going to have, you know, the free VAs and then an editor. And so they recorded all the things and then the editors edited it. So, like that entire process was so magical.
It really was. Yeah.
Like I know people say it's that, an amateur community, and there should be space enough for that, and there is, and I still are, I want to say, but I also really want to say, like, see big productions like this just for people that have fun but like uses it as a creative outlet.
Yes
and that's why I dropped on, because I had no incentive to like join the Kidnapped by the Coyotes, because it was a purely like female performed script. But I did it because I saw the potential for like what it could be if it was edited correctly.
Yes. Okay. All right. I was wondering what sort of drew you into it.
I saw the script. I was told about the script from one of the writers.
Yeah.
And then I read through it and I just had so many ideas, and I was like, I don't think others has the same ideas, or they probably do, but I want to do it my way. So I need to get in on this.
Yeah,
And I
absolutely.
did. And
I
I
want to
got
be
a
part of
wonderful group. Yeah,
it.
we're really jerking this script, but it was
Wow.
really a good project. And I would love to do some more collab with you for me. You
Yeah.
were lovely.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm likewise. When I think I first messaged you and said, "Hey, is it okay if I add you as a friend on Discord?" It's like, how is it that we are both wicked and we've not met? so I
Yeah.
just thought,
Well,
yeah, it's meant to be.
I guess you just need to get sucked into the wicked world.
That's right. There's a whole lot of wickedness up in here. Well,
There's a
on
whole
that,
world full of
there is.
it.
There really is. On that note, thank you, Wick, for joining me in the Wicked Wardrobe. I'm going to. Perhaps this is our space together, the wardrobe. It's
Maybe.
been a
I would
real.
love to come back.
Yeah, well,
If not, you can always take a teleporter into
yeah,
my
well, this
world,
is
the
it. God
wicked.
damn it. Why isn't that? Come on, people. Just make the teleportation happen, please.
Yes,
Make
please,
it a thing. Yes.
stop making big scary weapons and start doing something that's actually useful.
Because time zones, people, time zones. Wick is in a very different time zone to myself, and I don't know how you interact. I've got a number of cities on my or time zones on my world clock on my phone, and I've got them identified as right. Well, that's that person, and that's that person, and that's that
Oh
person,
no,
and
I usually
yeah.
just have I have because I'm mainly in one Discord server.
Yeah.
And I just have these are the like Europeans, which are all in the same time zone, like
Yeah.
the like Berlin
Yeah.
Paris time zone. And
Yeah.
then I have this is Texas.
Yes. Yes.
are
Yes.
so many people.
Yes. Yeah. I hear you. I do hear you.
My
It's a
default
challenge,
assumption at
but
this point, if they
yeah,
don't
well.
like have the extreme southern accent, my default assumption until they say otherwise is just that they're from Texas.
That's the
Because
time zone, people.
more often than not, they are either Texas or not American.
That's really interesting because I guess primarily the people in this space or the cohort is there's a the I don't know the creator community are based in the United States, and as one of the few Australians on here up in Naughty Audio Land, I always am interested to meet people. No, I'm not disparaging Americans, but it's lovely to meet people from other parts of the world. And like I mentioned, I mentioned to Wick before we started recording this that I the people that I'm trying to engage with this little get in my ears, I met a lovely Brazilian VA who
Nice.
I don't know by the time this goes out if I will have reached out to her but I met her and I was like yeah let's have a chat if you're up for it so yeah people
But see,
throughout
the thing is, I don't actually think that the DWA community is like, well, at least the performer part is mainly American because there are so many other things. The issue, I think, is most of the listeners are probably Americans, and also just the internet has a weird tendency to just conform to American time zones.
True. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And that could be why it just feels like that there's more Americans.
I don't know. I must.
But yeah,
In my experience,
it would be interesting to run some numbers on
yeah,
this.
to look at the data on that.
But we don't
From,
have any data because
yeah, you
bleh.
know, yeah. That's a whole nother series. But yeah, the
Welcome to
space in
Numbers with
itself.
Wick and Wick.
Ah,
We should make a talk show. Wick and
but
Wick.
then we'd have to be professional.
Hold on, let
Nah,
me get my assistant.
nah. Just like
Yeah.
I'll get my people to talk to your people. Yeah, it's
Yeah,
it, I
I'll
find it.
get my
Yeah.
one people to talk to your one people.
Oh, hang on, that's me.
That's also me.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, well, thank you for joining me today and having a chat. I'm excited to see where this goes for you. I will link all of your platforms. So for people who are listening, who wherever we are in your ears right now, where
we
can people find
ears.
You? Oh, so I know we've said Reddit and Twitter. So your username, can you just spell that out for me so people can hear it?
Yes, well, on Reddit, it is Wicked Companion, WICKEDCOMPANION, Companion. Mm-hmm. I totally didn't butcher that. I actually should be sure I don't butcher it by accident. And then on Twitter, it is, because of the dumb character limit, it is a Wick Companion. So it's WICKCOMPANION.
Lovely.
And both, like, I love receiving like DMs and chat messages or comments from listeners. I'm open to the DMs.
Okay.
Just don't be rude.
Yeah. Keep it classy, people. Always say keep it classy. You know.
Yeah. Hey, at least if you want to send something, ask first. I actually had a listener do that, where they asked me if I accepted nudes from listeners, and I told her, I'm assuming it's a she. How do I dare assume someone's gender? How dare I? Don't cancel
me. We're learning, we're evolving.
But yeah, I told her that, no, I don't, but I'm just letting you know, thank you a million times for asking, because so many people don't do that.
Absolutely.
So that was an interesting experience. But yeah, for anything, feedback, ideas, like if you need editing work, anything, just shoot me a message or reach, like comment, all that. And
wonderful.
Thanks for having me.
And, you're very welcome.
I hope you come to the Wicked World and visit me soon.
Undoubtedly, I will. Thank you very much, Wick, for getting in my ears. I will see you.
Always.
Okay, enough with that voice. I will see you in the wild.
Bye.